It's 5:41 at Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. I told Mayor Davies in Monmouth when I interviewed him this morning that I unintentionally planned this out to be Monmouth Day on the program today. That's because in about a week's time, the latest production for theater students at Monmouth Roseville High School will take the stage. It's called The Man Who Came to Dinner, and the person responsible for that is one of the teachers at Monmouth Roseville, Melissa Agar. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you. How are things coming together with this one?
They're coming. Yeah? You know, we had no school today, but we spent about 6 hours today building the set, and we left with walls up. Tomorrow we paint.
Oh, gosh. Well, my deepest and most heartfelt sympathies on all that. So that's the part in all the plays I've helped in now that I've never helped with. And it just
it's
always
exhausting.
It seems to magically come together. And as we say often, it's going to happen.
That's what everyone keeps reminding me when they see me stressing out.
See, everything will be all right. So, you know, at least when you're done with this interview, you can go have a drink and calm your nerves a little bit.
Right, a little something.
Before 7 days from now you open?
We open a week from tonight, yes.
Yeah. Tell me what this play is about. I see in the graphic on our community events page on WGIL.com, there's a Christmas tree. I will avoid my general rule about the fact that we haven't even hit Halloween yet.
Right, yeah. It just so happens to be set at Christmas.
But I'll let this slide. So for the sake of you being able to tell folks what this is
about. Thank you.
Sure.
So in December, let's put it that way, in December, this famous radio personality shows up. He's invited to the home of this Ohio couple, and he slips on the porch and breaks his hip.
Oh, my gosh. That's
and like... is confined to a wheelchair for weeks in their house and becomes this crazed tyrant.
Slipping and falling on ice scares
right?
me to death.
Me
because
too.
I've done it before.
Same.
And you think being in a wheelchair for any part of an amount of time would be bothersome enough.
Right.
So the man slips and falls going into this person's house.
Exactly. And he becomes confined in their house, confined in a wheelchair. And he's this very large personality with all of these famous friends who keep coming in and sending him bizarre gifts like crates full of penguins and an Egyptian sarcophagus shows up.
I've done radio for 24 years, and I've never once had a crate full of penguins show up at
right.
my front door.
I mean, it's the dream. That's your goal right? to work toward is the penguin level of fame.
Well, I hit 25 years in February, so maybe it'll happen. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
It'll happen.
To heck with a Timex watch. Give me a crate of penguins.
Right. Dream big.
Yeah,
dream big.
Of course.
So yeah, through the course of, you know, him being there, he just throws the house into chaos. And meanwhile, he has this secretary, his long-suffering secretary, who's put up with his you know, nastiness of all these years. She just so happens to fall in love.
Oh, geez.
And wow. So he has to find a way to keep her from leaving him and staying in Ohio with her newspaper man boyfriend.
So somehow he needs to stop being so dang mean and eccentric and whatnot and figure out how he's going to keep a person very important to him
right.
in his life.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wow, that's interesting. I've never heard of a radio personality with a big ego before. It's a very,
right.
very new thing to me. I've never run into that at all in my life. I'm just saying. But, and this is a comedy.
It is a comedy. I mean, and it's a classic, you know, 1930s, 40s era, three-act comedy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, the kids, when we did our first table read, were laughing really hard and the characters that show up are really eccentric.
Yeah.
And, you know, the character in the wheelchair, Sheridan Whiteside is his name. Some of the things he says are just so...
Terrible radio name.
I know. the things he says are just so delicious and mean.
Yeah.
And I mean, he calls people, like, repulsive. But it's funny. And they find it hilarious, so...
I was going to say, this goes back to, obviously, sort of a bygone era for at least my industry.
And mm-hmm.
how do you get a group of high school kids, I'm assuming, to kind of to kind of sign on to that and understand what's going on here.
It was challenging at first. And, you know, I made a decision not to do any sort of modernization. Okay. I knew it would be way too hard. But one day it kind of hit on. I'm like, hey, guys, imagine. Because I was trying to get them excited to see him until they find out that he's so mean. I'm like, you know, imagine that. That Jimmy Fallon just shows up at your house and they started freaking out. I'm like, that's who this guy is. He's the Jimmy Fallon of the 1940s.
I was going to say, they've painted this eccentric guy with with a crate full of penguins as Jimmy Fallon.
Well, that helps them. But, okay. You know, they do their research. They read. They find stuff out. We talked a lot about, you know, the nature of fame in that time period and the kind of Hollywood lifestyle that he leads with these friends that keep coming in and out. And a lot of the characters in it are based on people that Moss Hart and George Kaufman actually knew.
Yeah.
There's a Harpo Marx fill-in or stand-in. There's a Noel Coward-esque character.
Oh, wow.
So I've talked to them a little bit about that, too. But they're pretty open to finding this stuff out.
I imagine that when you select plays for these kids to do, you kind of have to keep some of those things in mind in general and how you can make this sort of a teachable moment, don't you?
I do, yeah. I mean, there have been plays that I've looked at that I have chosen, you know, because I'm like, this will allow them to learn something. And when we did The Diary of Anne Frank, I very much had that in mind, that we were going to learn about what people like the Franks went through during World War II.
Yeah.
And they took that mission super seriously.
That's great.
It was intense. When we did Hollywood Arms a couple years ago, which was written by Carol Burnett, and it's about her childhood. They became obsessed with Carol Burnett. They would come in like, have you seen this clip on YouTube? I'm like, yeah, I've seen pretty much every Carol Burnett clip on YouTube.
I hate to tell the kids that the Carol Burnett show is actually still back on TV somewhere, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's on like Antenna or one of those. And they would watch episodes and they just fell in love with her.
I think, especially as maybe you kind of get the kids clued in on radio, I guess, at this time.
Yeah. But
that's probably something that they, unfortunately, which kind of breaks my heart, really, they don't have a full understanding of either at first.
The power that radio had in that time period. Yeah. And that's why I've talked a lot about trying to, you know, match it up with television and film personalities that they know now.
Sure.
So they get a sense of it. I'm like, yeah, and that's what radio was for people.
Mm-hmm, sure was. Can't really tell them to go watch WKRP again.
Right. I mean, I should tell them because it's a great show. But
yeah. Oh, of course you should. Absolutely. But which is also, again, on TV.
Oh, I know.
Too. So yeah, you don't have to tell me. But then again, I spend my spare time watching reruns of MASH. So, you know, what do I know?
It's a good way to spend the time.
Yeah, exactly. So how big is your cast then?
We have about 25 kids in the show.
Wow.
Yeah, that was part of the reason why I picked it was I knew we had a couple big groups of, especially a big group of sophomores right now,
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to try to get as many kids involved as I could. So I landed on this. I knew that it had a lot of female and male parts, which is really so hard sometimes to find.
I'm sure, yeah.
And some parts that I could swap if I needed to. So you know, our doctor is a female.
Oh, there you go. So this has to do with the, let's just say, a period of time before the typical slip and fall lawsuit. Does somebody actually have to slip and fall
lawsuit
here?
He threatens, it all happens off stage. But there's one of the first encounters that we see with him. He informs them that he's going to be suing them for like, I think he says $150,000. And the kids are like, that's not very much. I'm like, Let's pull out our Google and see.
Yeah, 80 years ago,
it was
entirely too much money.
Right.
Especially for, you know, in the radio industry still.
Right.
But that's another discussion for another day. So, but that's a great big cast. I imagine.
Yeah.
I imagine just in general, when you put out word about a play like this, you don't have any shortage of people who want to audition.
And I've managed to find a way to get everybody cast, which is unusual for our fall shows.
But that's good for you, though.
Yeah, exactly. That have, you know, we've got several kids that have never done this before, or at least not with us before. So that's really good. We were able to get, you know, like 3 or 4 freshmen on stage that auditioned and still have a good showcase for our older kids who are in their next to last show.
The free productions you did over the summer, did that motivate anybody to come?
It helped.
This?
It brought a couple kids on board. It was a really good transition for our junior high kids coming in. So they came in knowing the kids. And so that made it easier for them to get to know them. And as I was casting them, for that people not to, you know, grumble about, you cast a freshman in this part. Well, you worked with them, you know.
Yeah, well, sometimes the freshman gets to play on the varsity football team.
So, yeah, those have been really good program builders for us over the course of the past few years.
That's great. All right, so let's talk about The Man Who Came to Dinner, a couple of performances next weekend.
Yes, we go up Friday and Saturday next week. Show starts at 7 o'clock at the Monmouth Roseville High School Auditorium. Tickets are available at the door. They're $7 for adults and $3 for students.
Now, you went right from that summer play to this fall play. Are you finally going to get a break here
Well,
at
no,
some
speech
point?
Season starts right after.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about, how can I forget about speech season? I'm terribly
sorry. Our first speech
meet
is November 16th for us, so I've got a little downtime.
So you got like a day.
We're going to strike this at Monday and start speech practice on Tuesday.
Oh, what, so then you don't have any downtime.
Right.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
We'll be okay.
Well,
and, you know, until the musical, we don't start working on that until January. I'll start doing some preliminary work probably around Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, what's next after you have speech season? You have
Guys and Dolls.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, we're doing Guys and Dolls this spring, which I was saying today to somebody, I'm like, that's a bucket list musical for me to direct. So
I was
super excited.
I saw a bit of a twinkle in your eye there when you said that.
It is one of my all-time favorite musicals, and I've kind of waited until I had the right mix of kids and until I felt good enough to do a show that I love so much.
And now,
like, you know, I think after 12 or so years directing, maybe I'm ready for Guys and Dolls.
Now is finally the time.
I've earned it,
There you go. All right, again, The Man Who Came to Dinner next Friday and Saturday, November 1st and 2nd in the Monmouth Roseville High School Auditorium. The curtain goes up at 7, $7 adult tickets, students with ID $3. Find out more on the community events page of WGIL.com. Well, Melissa Agar, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Best of luck with the play. Best of luck with speech season.
Thank you.
Best of luck getting through Guys and Dolls.
Yes.
and then maybe you can take a day off.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll work something in there somewhere.
I was gonna say, you're not hosting speech.
I'll teach in there somewhere, too.
Will you now? You're not hosting speech regionals again, are
yes,
you?
Actually, we are.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess I'll be talking to you in January.
Exactly,
then.
Yeah. When the IHSA asks, you say yes.
Hey, well, that's good for you. So.
Right.
Good thing I hope you have people helping you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Melissa Agar, thanks again.
Thank you.
Best wishes, and thanks for all you do for the area.
Oh, thank you so much.